What's good, everybody? Tuesday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice, reacting to the Stanley Cup playoffs. As always, Pete Jensen and Rob Reese. Welcome back, Robbie.
Hey, thanks, Petey. And I've got to tip my cap at the top of the show to Davey Satriano. For the past 2 years, this guy has been backing Jake the Snake Allen, saying that his career is far from over. And now we've seen it firsthand as they got themselves back into the series against the Canucks.
No doubt. Jake, make no mistake, Allen, for sure, the way he's played. And he played both ends of the back-to-back for St. Louis. For Jordan Binnington, I mean, this is like Craig Berube's coaching on full display, right? Like, not only the guts to not start Binnington after a bad outing, but then the guts on top of that to not go back to him is just truly amazing.
Especially when you consider what he did for the team last year, like from January to the Cup run. It was ridiculous the way he performed. Yep. So to even a 2-0 hole for a team like the Blues that could come back at any minute, that's a huge decision that takes a lot of guts to make. So credit to Craig Berube, but more credit goes to Jake Allen, who stepped up phenomenally against a Canucks team that seems to be generating offense at every strength.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll be the first one to self-criticize here. I said the Blues were done. I might have pulled the trigger too quick. A little mea culpa here. You know what I forgot about the Blues? They wear you down as the series goes. They slow you up. These last two games, they look like their normal selves. Jake Allen, I don't know how long this is going to last. I thought Berube would go to Jake Allen. He did. Jake Allen rewarded everyone. So a little mea culpa here from Bob Bender. And I shouldn't say much this show. I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to say much. A little mea culpa. I was wrong about that series being over.
I think when you look at the problem here for the Canucks, though, I had them in seven games, and I might be hopping off the wagon here. Look at their ice time from the game yesterday. Besser played 22 minutes. Miller played 22 minutes. Pettersson played 24. Horvat played 23. Okay, wow. Pearson played 20. You cannot do that against a team like the Blues that can roll four lines on any given night. Bob said it earlier, that's a team that wears you down. I'm sorry, but if you're playing those guys 22 minutes each a night, those top two lines, you're going to be worn down. So I'm a little shaky on the Canucks. However, I do think young legs, they can get away with that. Pete, maybe in this series here, I am excited to see that. I think they can put up a good fight. But, hey, with Jake Allen in net right now, he's stopping pretty much everything that's coming his way.
And what you mentioned about the scoring depth, the Blues are doing it without Tarasenko the past two games, which is amazing. And then, yeah, of course, they're out shooting Vancouver 39-28 on average in the series. So St. Louis has gotten control back. When you think back to game three, though, right, that game was in overtime. And like St. Louis was really playing on its heels at numerous points in the overtime. So that's a great example once again. If you don't stomp a team when they're down, a resilient team like the Blues, they're going to come back to bite you almost every time.
It reminds me of the Washington-Columbus series from 2 years ago, and Washington came back when they were down 2-0, and they just rode off. They won four straight. I think this is what's going to happen with St. Louis now. Once those guys find their gear, once they get a spark from a goalie switch, that's the winning formula. And again, hats off to Craig Berube who did that. Now, I do have to say credit to Boston yesterday, too, coming back in their game as well, scoring four unanswered. Jake DeBrusk coming alive, which is exactly what that team needed. And I think, too, just having the Halak situation and everything going on there, it seems like that, Pete, that two-goalie mentality, that two-goalie buffer, having two guys like that, going back to Allen as well and Binnington, it seems like that's really making a difference in this format.
For sure. And yeah, the Bruins have their swagger back 100% right now. That stomp on your throat, like stab you in the heart type of swagger that they can overcome any series deficit. Remember last year they faced, I think in a series or two, they were down facing elimination. I mean, now Boston's in full control of this series, probably going to win it in five the way this thing is going. Of course, another injury for Carolina on top of Svechnikov. Jordan Staal, probably their second best two-way player, knocked out of the game on the big hit from Charlie McAvoy. But yeah, four unanswered, and in the span of less than 7 minutes, I mean, that is vintage Boston Bruins hockey right there. They put them to rest in game four.
The McAvoy hit was incredible. I mean, that was a big-time hockey clean hit for the most part. I loved everything about it. And then, you know, Rod Brendamore was helpless on the bench. He basically said in the post-game press conference, he said it was tough to watch. If you're a Hurricanes fan or you're a Hurricane player, I just don't know how you get juiced up for the next game after seeing what unfolded the last few minutes of that game. And Reimer, I don't know, they said it on the broadcast, that was reminiscent of the collapse when he was in between the pipes with Toronto and Boston came back and beat him. I mean, that just was an avalanche. It was an avalanche that took over the entire team.
Well, I'm not going to defend Reimer here. No way. No freaking way. But I think, like, it wouldn't have mattered if Mrazek was in net either. Like, no, when that Boston team finds their game, no one's beating them, Bob. Like, no one's going to beat that Boston team. And I think you and I, Bob, were the only ones that weren't down on Boston heading into this postseason, right? Because they can flip a switch like that. Doesn't matter if they're down a man or two. They can find that gear, and they can take over. Now, obviously, I think Carolina's going to go back to Mrazek for the next game. But again, without Staal, without Svechnikov, this is just not going to be that same team that we were talking about heading into the series.
One big difference maker in this past game was Andrei Kasha with the primary assist on both of DeBrusk's goals. And if they can get that type of secondary scoring pop from a player like that, I mean, that game yesterday was Kasha's best as a Bruin. He's only played like, 10, 15 games or so, but that was really encouraging, especially for me. I got him at the bottom of the barrel in that fantasy pool draft, so I did a little jump in the standings because of Kasha yesterday.
There's no reason to rush Pastrnak back at this point, right? You have a 3-1 lead. You saw what happened late in the game. Why rush him back? Get him ready for next series, right?
Total domination from Boston. I think this one's over. I feel way more confident saying that one's over versus a couple of the games today when you have Chicago kind of making a little bit of a last-minute push here against Vegas. But the Boston series, that one, you can bet, is good as over.
For sure. What do you think about Montreal-Philly? Because Philly won a big game the other day, but kind of locked down defensively. They only had 20 shots. They went 0-for-6 on the power play. I mean, this team has some serious offensive issues right now going on. And with how good Montreal's save percentage is at 5-on-5, with Carey Price, best in the NHL postseason, expect a bounce back here, I think, from Montreal.
Have you seen either of you guys that many posts hit in a single playoff game ever from Montreal? Ever? That was ridiculous.
That's nuts, man. And yeah, I think Montreal, you mentioned it a couple of shows ago, the Brendan Gallagher onslaught in terms of not having a goal. The guy leads the NHL postseason in shots on goal with like 31 and has no goals.
I love Brendan Gallagher, but I think this is going to go down a level to like the Joel Armias, the Paul Byrons of the bunch. Like, I think that's the grinding that you're going to need. We saw that 2-1 tight game. Montreal should have had a couple more goals for sure, but they didn't. And that offense, as we know, it's not that deep. But I think when you look at them on paper, like the Brendan Gallagher line is probably going to go up against the Drew line. Like, that's going to maybe cancel each other out. I think if Armia can get going, if Byron can get going, maybe you have a shot. I still think Philly's the much better team here, but there's something so sneaky about that Habs team. And I do think it starts with kind of like their grinding type players.
We talked about a little bit yesterday, but the Flyers power play is god awful. I don't know what power play is worse, the Islanders or the Flyers, and maybe throw a couple other teams in there. But if the Flyers don't figure out this power play, I'm sorry, I just don't. They might be able to get past the Canadiens, but I don't know, maybe something's not working against the Canadiens. Maybe the Canadiens give them credit. The Penguins power play didn't look good either. I don't know, Rob, what do you make of that? I mean, do you give credit to the Habs, or is it the opposing team? Is it the Flyers that are having the issues?
Well, I think this is a more general thing in the format. Like, I think this is a total format thing. There's just not as much time to find rhythm. The Penguins, you almost kind of give them a pass now, seeing all these injury reports coming out, like Malkin having surgery, Zach Aston-Reese having surgery. Like, there was clearly something going on with that bunch of guys health-wise. So that, I'll write them off for now. But for the Habs specifically, like, I've always thought that they've played a really sound style defensively. And with a guy like Shea Weber, who, by the way, people were criticizing Mark Bergevin major for this trade a couple years when he let Subban, kind of the face of Montreal, the heart of the city, go. I'm sorry. You got to tip your cap to Bergevin there now. This is a player that can shut it down on the PK. He can take over on the power play. So I do think this is a Canadiens thing, but I think generally for teams like Philadelphia, for teams like Pittsburgh, for Washington that have a lot of high-octane guys, it's not enough time for them to really sort this out. Like, give it 10 regular season games, and this Flyers power play is converting 30% of the time. They don't have that luxury right now.
Yeah, my Philly was an elite power play for many years, even as recently as when Gostisbehere was running the show on the first unit. Of course, those days are over. But yeah, some weird – what you were saying about, like, with the format is definitely true. I mean, the fact that Vegas and Tampa Bay still don't have a power play goal in the series shows that maybe something's off with, you know, the return to play and how it affects – you know, different aspects of the game. The power play has been one casualty for some of these top teams. Even before yesterday when Colorado scored three in their seven-goal onslaught, three on the power play. Prior to that, they were 1-for-9. So something's been off with some of these elite offenses on the power play for sure.
And that's a major problem for Arizona and a major problem for anyone that's going to face the Avalanche in the next couple rounds. So we'll just have to say that. But, I mean, even look at Columbus, right? Like that 2-1 game against Tampa Bay. And, yes, Tampa Bay is outplaying them night and day for the most part, right? But Columbus is a tricky team. The fact that that was even a one-goal game and there was a goal negated by an offside call, too, for Columbus. Like, to me, it's like the power play concept and this high-octane stuff is not as much of an impact in this format as it would be in regular years when you can have a little bit more leeway. I think the round robin, like Tampa Bay kind of coasting through that a little bit, going up against a Columbus team that had to fight their way through every single game against the Maple Leafs. But it's just funny, like the format is helping these teams that like to grind it down, get the puck in deep and cycle.
When you look at the Capitals, is there any hope of a bounce back? They're not winning this series, obviously. They're not coming back against Barry Trotz. There's no way. That's going to happen. But I'm talking about one game, like today. Do they have a chance if the Islanders commit some dumb penalties and they get out on the power play, their bread and butter? Do they have a chance today?
If Nick Backstrom's in the lineup 100%, they'll probably win the game, Pete. And in classic Washington Capitals destiny, like they'll win maybe one or two, right? And then fans will start being like, oh my gosh, here's the team we've been waiting for. But ultimately, this is the New York Islanders series. You've got a tight window to make things possible. You have to have Barry Trotz behind the bench because he's got all the answers and he has the secret recipe to the Washington Capitals. He knows they get a little lazy. This is nothing new, but he knows that inside and out. So major credit to the Islanders, major credit to Trotz, but too long didn't read answer here, Pete. No, they're bounce back. Yes, one game, not in the series. No way.
I saw our buddy Michael Lieboff labeled this series the Anders Lee series. So he's had goals in all three games. Of course, he stirred it up in game one and kind of set the tone for the Islanders. Of course, that hit knocked Backstrom out of the series to this point. One note I saw in favor of the Capitals potentially bouncing back is they have the lowest PDO of any team left in the postseason, shooting percentage plus save percentage. So maybe some positive regression in game four. But again, this is a total mismatch at 5-on-5. And goaltending wise, we were talking about it yesterday. Varley has been in another stratosphere compared to Braden Holtby in this series.
And as much as I want to say, oh, well, Jake Vrana's had three or four breakaways and could have easily scored and won the games, you cannot make that argument here because the Islanders, for all 60 minutes of each game, have been just hounds on the puck. They've been all over the place, making it impossible for Washington, who refuses, by the way, to play a different style. So this is all on the Islanders here. Now, a series I did want to spend a little bit more time on today because I think I need to hear everybody's take on this. Dallas-Calgary. I mean, this one, Pete, is hilarious because we're seeing Dallas put up some scoring now, which is nice. But Calgary blowing the game, and then their post-game press conference. I mean, it seems like the writing might be on the wall for this series. Do you think that's too aggressive to say that this is Dallas' series now?
I think it swung to Dallas for sure. I picked Calgary. I know we were on Calgary for a while. The defense has holes. They allowed 62 shots the last game. Cam Talbot, we should say, has had a marvelous postseason. He was even hanging around in that game, which went to overtime, and the Stars won, of course, on the tip by Radulov. But, like, I mean – The Flames just don't have it defensively. And without Matthew Tkachuk, you can write them off. They might still win a game. This series would be destined to go game seven because it's been so wacky and topsy-turvy. I still wouldn't be surprised to see it go to seven. But, like, man, Dallas is going to win this series, that the more I think about it.
And, Bob, you feel that way too? Or is it just kind of that – maybe I'm overreacting to, like, one game here,
listen,
two games, but –
Listen, you guys in the audience are probably so happy right now because I'm having technical issues and I can't chime in as much as I'd like to. So, but I'll chime in on this one. Yeah, I think Dallas is a heavier team. I think without Kachuk, they're in serious danger. Is Kachuk out for the rest of the series? Is that confirmed, or are they hedging on that? What's the deal with Kachuk? Because if he comes back, I might have a different story on this. But if he's out, give me Dallas. And I think you're seeing very similar, you know, you're seeing Dallas, Calgary, St. Louis, Vancouver, the heavier, you know, more physical teams are going to win out in the end. And I think that's what I'm thinking with Dallas. I don't think it's an overreaction. I think Cam Talbot can only do so much. And without Kachuk, I just don't see Calgary being able to figure this thing out.
Agree. I mean, I think that we've seen some nice performances from Calgary, guys like Dubé and Lucic and Talbot, guys that you never would have really expected at the beginning, at the outset of the playoffs. They've been a great story, but I think the run probably comes to an end here. But I mean, this Bishop thing is kind of wonky too. Like, Khudobin's been playing most of the series. So would that eventually catch up to them? Could Calgary drop four goals on them any given game? Of course. So, and Calgary has the second best power play in the NHL this postseason behind Vancouver. So you can't take them lightly. It's kind of like that Washington thing. If Dallas starts going into the box, Calgary can make them pay, and they will make them pay.
I just think that Calgary power plays a whole lot of a different dimension without Kachuk on it. And two, another point. Thing you just said, Pete, like this two goalie thing is legitimate. This is a legitimate thing now. I don't know if it's going to transfer from this postseason to future ones, but more predominant than I've ever seen before in recent memory. You've got to have two goalies now, which is so interesting to me that this is even the case in the National Hockey League, which is basically if you weren't a one solid goalie team, you weren't going to win.
Right. In the past, goalie changes in the playoffs, it was like you were aborting the whole strategy and blowing everything up by making a change. But especially with the back-to-backs, you've seen many teams do it. Carolina's done it. I mean, Boston has been forced to change their goalie because of the circumstances. Columbus has played, you know, Korpisalo most of the time because Elvis is out now. But Elvis was playing here and there in the first round against Toronto and I think gave them a boost at different times. So, yeah, and Dallas has been a great example of that. Having the 1B, Vegas's 5-on-5 save percentage is a little weaker than we expected, but they get the wins. Leonard and Fleury, they plugged Fleury in there and he had a great game the other day. So, I mean, it's paying dividends. Colorado's another one. They plug and play. I'm really interested to see if Vegas plays Colorado, if those goalies are just alternating every other game. You never know who's going to start, and you go to game 7, and who's going to get the start. That would be crazy theater.
Wait. Pump the brakes here. You're telling me that Corey Crawford, who made 48 saves, can't get them back into the series here, Pete? You're telling me that the one goalie team in the Blackhawks isn't going to
Oh, my God.
You just pushed the wrong button with
Pushed
Bob.
The wrong
Bob
button, yeah. I think what we'll see today, Vegas as a big favorite. I think we'll see a lockdown on the series. Vegas will move on. I mean, Corey Crawford, the funny thing about that was after the game, he's like, yeah, I thought the defense played pretty well. And I said, what game were you watching there? I mean, Vegas was just peppering and peppering and peppering all over Chicago, just like the Avs were all over the Coyotes yesterday.
Kemper said a similar thing. These guys are way too humble. Some of these goalies that are making almost 50 save games, they're saying, oh, the PK was good today. The defense was playing well in front of me.
I was reading a column from Bruce Boudreau this morning. It's on NHL.com right now. I think Galitti wrote it. And Bruce was basically saying that he wouldn't be surprised if almost every one of these series went to 6 or 7 games just in this format. And I think that might be excluding the Arizona series for sure. Maybe the Washington series as well, if Backstrom can't go in that one. But Chicago is just this weird team where I think they get a performance like that out of Crawford. It wouldn't shock me to see them pull another upset here today. Now, I'm a big supporter of. I think they should ultimately close this thing out. But there's just something a little bit strange about this format where I can't say that Vegas is a total lock today, especially because the Chicago value is so good right now. It's also hard to turn away from that.
I'm interested to see if it's any different than the first round, because you remember no series went to game 5 except for Toronto-Columbus, which was a miraculous comeback. So maybe is this bubble thing, like when a team is down but not quite out, is that like factoring into their minds at all? I mean, I don't know, but we didn't see many series go the distance in the first round, and there's a chance that that could happen again. Again, I think Dallas, Calgary will go seven, and I think St. Louis. I still think Vancouver will win one of the next two games to get that series to seven. Those are the two series to me that I think are going seven. The rest I don't think are, probably.
Yeah, and I said yesterday, you know, I was throwing the teams that were out and done, in my estimation. And, you know, the Capitals obviously are done. The Coyotes are done. I think Chicago's done. I threw the Blues in there, like I said at the top of the show. I might have been too premature. I don't think Vancouver's out of this by any stretch here, okay? I think that that series is going seven. I actually believe that that series is going to go seven. As I look at the board today, I don't love much on the board today. I really don't. But if I had to put a shekel on a game, I think I'm going to go with Dallas, and I'm going to take them to beat Calgary. That's the only thing that's really jumping out at me. The price is okay. You know, you can't take the Capitals today. To me, it's Islanders or nothing. I don't have a sense. You know, I'm really rooting for Montreal to win the game today. I think they have a really excellent shot to win the game today, but I just don't know if I want to take them. And, you know, you can't really do much with Chicago, Vegas. So what are you guys looking at?
I'll throw in Montreal, Philly. That series is probably going 7-2. So three series will probably go seven. But other than that, you could probably start setting up the bracket for the next round in the Eastern Conference, barring Philly. I mean, if Montreal gets in as the last seed again, that would just be ridiculous and throw everything, a wrench into everything. But yeah, Philly really should get it done over time. But what do you think about that series and that game today?
Well, for today, I agree with Bob. Like, when you look at the board on first glance, the only reasonable, sensible play is Dallas. And you're certainly not – this is not a parlay day. No way about that. I do think I like Montreal's appeal, though. The 3 o'clock start time, those for me, I always have a harder time picking those games because it just – one team always comes out a little flat, but then they play two solid periods to end the game. I kind of expect that the way for Montreal today, that they can win. Maybe Philly comes out a little hot. They weather the storm. Carey Price bails them out, and then they flip the switch in the second and third. So I would put a shekel on Montreal today. Again, I expect that series to go to the distance. We need a Carey Price, Carter Hart game seven. If you're looking at the Islanders, they're a safe bet lock to win the series. All right, but game, it's always the hardest to close out. It's always the hardest game to win, to close that, to really put your foot on the gas and take it to the next level. They've got a great opponent in the Capitals that are sleepy right now to do that against, but I would not touch that game today. No way.
It would be hard to believe if, there's a lot of pride in the Capitals locker room, even though maybe they're a little over the hill and a little lethargic at times, but if they can't win a game against Barry Trotz, that's very telling, I think. So take the Capitals seriously in game four for sure. And then, yeah, I'm curious, like what you were mentioning with Flyers Canadians. Like, I know some people are throwing, shots at like the first period under in some of these afternoon games. Like, maybe that's something, like you were saying, like they'll get their footing over the course of the game and maybe each score two or three goals. But maybe early on in that game, the 3 p.m. start is a under scenario there.
I like that play a lot, Pete. And you're seeing that in other games too, where teams are just afraid to make that first mistake to open up the game. And both these teams right now, like Montreal, can't afford to play an open style game. They can when those posts hit are going in, but otherwise they can't afford to do that. So I like that strategy today.
I like that angle also. Real quick, some DFS targets, not only for today, but anything that you may look at, just players in general for tomorrow, Wednesday, because we're not going to be talking to you all until Thursday or Friday. So let's just dump out the cabinets and talk some DFS players real quick before we wrap.
Sure. Let's get a Vegas stack into your lineup tonight, whether it's Mark Stone and maybe Alec Martinez. I like the way Martinez is playing. He has assists in three of the four games in the series. He's playing like 23, 24 minutes a game. Great trade deadline acquisition. Stack him with either Stone or Pacioretty. Pacioretty hasn't scored a goal or a point, I don't think, so far in three games played since coming back from injury. But he's got 10 shots in the three games. So a Pacioretty Martinez stack would pay big dividends, I think, if the Golden Knights close it out here.
And I'll tee up everybody for a 12 p.m. start time tomorrow Eastern time. Dubois, Bjorkstrand stack. The reason I like that, this Columbus team has they will never go away quietly. They're going to score a couple of goals in that game. If Tampa Bay wins, it's going to have to be like a 4-3 game for them. That's the way I see it. So get some value play, get a low ownership play, and don't be shy to stack up Dubois and Bjorkstrand.
And let's give Nazem Kadri a big shout out to 3-point game. The guy is totally ripping it up on the first power play for Colorado, overcoming what has been a weird playoff history for that player. But again, a guy gets out of the Toronto spotlight and is just playing exceptionally. So, you know, you saw a similar thing with like Phil Kessel years ago, right? He finally left the Maple Leafs where he couldn't win a series. And then all of a sudden he's gelling like crazy with his new team. So hats off to Kadri for sure.
Hey, and Gorianov got on the board last game for Dallas as well. And one
that was
player,
a nice goal.
It was a really nice goal. One player I just wanted to talk about real quick who's been a huge disappointment for me, and I'm sure a disappointment for Rob, is Vrana. Vrana has looked just out of sorts this series, making mistakes, missing breakaways. I was very high on Vrana coming into the playoffs. I know you were also. Real quick, just thoughts on Vrana, and then we'll wrap.
Well, I think you were having technical difficulties, and I said this earlier, but like you could say this, that Vrana's had, I think he's had 3 or 4 breakaways he should have scored on, right? I mean, if you're a 30-goal scorer, you're scoring on at least 75%, if not 100% of those clean chance breakaways in the postseason. But I have to just take the focus off Vrana here and credit the Islanders. Like, Vrana has been near non-existent otherwise. Yeah, he's going to spring a breakaway because he's a wheeler. He's fast. But they've shut them down every single line at even strength where they can't even get the puck out of their own zone. It's so clumsy to watch. It's so clunky. It's like a car that just can't put it in drive anymore. It's over. So Vrana, as much as you want to kind of pile on, I think he's the furthest thing from the Caps' problems right now. Of course, that goal gets them back in the game. It gets Ovi hyped, which changes the whole direction of not only a game but a series. But they just don't have that, and it's not on Vrana. It's on the whole team here.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, yeah, I did miss you talking about that. I had technical difficulties. The one thing also with the Capitals, and then seriously, we have to go. We have to say bye-bye. the one thing with the Capitals here, it's like, you know, you have to imagine it's so difficult for a team, you know, Stanley Cup winner. You could put the Penguins in that bucket also. You know, they win the Stanley Cup, and now they're playing hockey in August. And that's somewhat what happened with Tuukka Rask, I think, also. It's tough to get up and motivated. You're playing hockey in August, no fans, your family's out of the mix. So, you know, I don't want to give the Capitals a pass, but I certainly can understand, you know, why they've played the way they've played, especially since they're going against Barry Trotz and that Islanders team who are like hungry wolves coming out of the forest, ready to go, and love this format, love the fact that their season, you know, which was going off the rails, is now back on the rails. So you can understand. I don't want to make excuses for the Capitals, but you could certainly understand it.
Bob, if this format was a little bit different for teams like the Capitals and they had to play like a play-in round against the Pittsburgh Penguins, I guarantee would be seeing a different style of hockey from the Washington Capitals, whether those guys are 100% in shape or not. They would be trying every single game, every single shift. I have to end by saying, not to beat a dead horse here, Islanders, 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 give this team credit. And now, Pete, last thing I'll say here, this shapes the whole offseason direction for that team too. All they need is one guy that can put the puck in the back of the net, and that's a bona fide playoff team year in and year out for the next couple of years.
For sure, add maybe like a Mike Hoffman, and they're taking a next step on the power play, and they're even more dangerous than they are right now. We'll see what they do in free agency. Yeah, for the Capitals, man, it's even like John Carlson. I know he came into the tournament with some injury concern. It was a little murky. We were saying, even though he's still the top defenseman in fantasy from the regular season, we were saying like wait a little bit in your playoff pool draft. Thank goodness if you did, because he's been a big bust for this playoff pool format, right? I mean, he's not scoring at all.
And last thing about the Caps here, if they had Samsonov available on the bench and he could get in there for a game, I guarantee you that lights the fire under those veteran guys. They're not going to leave a rookie netminder out to dry like that. But that'll do it for us today. I think I'm out later in the week, boys, on a little vacay, so I'm not sure if I'll have any more good takes for you or bad takes. But either way, enjoy the games this week. You can catch me on Twitter at NHL Reese, Petey's at NHL Jensen, and Bobby's at Airchecked.
All right, Robbie, enjoy the time. Enjoy the time off, and I really do hope you find your way either in Montauk or Cape Cod. Take the drive. It's worth it. Don't stay in that city. Get out of that freaking city and get to Cape Cod or Montauk and enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you when you get back. Petey, put a bow on it.
Sounds good. Good show, Robbie. So for Bob Bender, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again next time here, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Enjoy the day games, the night games, hockey all day, every day lately, and we'll talk to you next time, NHL Fantasy on Ice.